Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Charity Digital podcast with me, Chris Hall. By the time this recording goes out, it will be December 22nd, which means this is our last podcast of the year. And it also means that it's the end of 2020. Woohoo! I can hear the cheers echo around the country. You did it, everybody. Well done. We're almost there. You got through it. Give yourselves a big pat on the back. It's been an odd year, hasn't it? And it's been a mixed one for charities. You know, services increased by 56% while incomes dropped and operating expenses swelled. It's been a year of surviving and not thriving. And although we sadly lost some charities, we've also seen a braver, bolder sector emerge from the embers of COVID-19. Over 90% of charities have moved their services online. Culture and mindsets are becoming more digital, and digital strategies are branching further than marketing and fundraising. Charities are becoming more resilient, more sustainable, and even more creative. Now, Christmas is often a time of reflection, and seeing it as it is the most wonderful time of the year, we've actually brought back a collection of wonderful guests that have joined us previously throughout the year as we all kind of collectively take a look back on 2020. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to the panel. First up, we have Michaela Leavag. Michaela, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Hi, thanks very much for having me back this year. My name is Michaela Leavag and I'm a cybersecurity leader, having worked in local government, NHS and the healthcare charity sector.
Thanks for joining us, Michaela. Sorry, I realised even though I asked you, I managed to pronounce your name wrong. So I do apologise for that. Michaela joined us earlier in the year on a cybersecurity podcast along with the NCSE. Definitely worth a listen if you get some time over the Christmas period. Next up, joining us is a really good friend of Charity Digital, someone we've worked with for a really long time now, which is Aiga Pio. Welcome, Aiga.
Hi, lovely to be back. I'm the head of marketing at Trillium. Trillium are a digital transformation agency that focus on helping not-for-profit, obviously charities being one of the main areas. And my role is to work with those charities, actually not particularly techily, but to help them implement strategies to optimise the use of that technology as we think all about people rather than the tech.
Thanks for joining us today, Aiga. I'm sure you're all very familiar with Aiga. She's joined us on many an occasion and you've seen Trillium quite regularly on our website as well throughout the year. Last but certainly not least, we have Dean Gillespie, a great friend of ours as well, has been involved in a lot of our conferences and events throughout the year, as well as guest written a lot of pieces. Welcome, Dean. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell people where you're from?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Chris. It's great to be on this podcast. My first time on the podcast, so hopefully I'll be invited back. But my name is Dean Gillespie. I'm the digital and data manager at All We Can. And All We Can is an international development humanitarian aid organisation with a vision, really, to see every person's potential fulfilled, particularly for those in some of the poorest communities. As I say, great to be with everyone today and excited to what's going to unfold.
Thanks, Dean. And I feel like just starting this by going and relax, just breathe out. It's been one hell of a year. I think before we really dive into it, I wanted to bring back a little bit of fun and excitement. When we first started our podcast, which I can't believe it's been over a year now, we introduced a game called Charity Digital and Charity Dodgy. It was a bit of a hit with the fans, but during COVID, when we started focusing on more pertinent topics, we decided to kind of put it on the back burner. But I thought, since it's Christmas, we'll bring it back and play with this wonderful panel that we've got with us today. Michaela has a little bit of an advantage because she did play this with us before earlier on in the end, one of our early podcasts. But the benefit for the rest of the panel, it's a really straightforward game. Basically, you have to identify the fact or piece from one of our recent articles that is false, or as we call it, charity dodgy. So we recently released an article on some of the funniest out-of-offices replies you can leave over the Christmas break. Your job is to identify which of the following three is false or charity dodgy. So here goes the first three. I must mention that the idea is to think on them now and we'll return to it at the end of the game to decide which one you think. And it has to be a collective decision. So conferring is allowed and you have to come to a unanimous decision of which one you believe. I've got a feeling this one might split opinions though. So these were, you know, two of these three were real out-of-office replies that people left during Christmas. Out-of-office number one goes like this. Never going to give you up. never going to let you down, never going to run around and desert you, never going to make you cry, never going to say goodbye, never going to tell a lie and hurt you. I'm also never going to reply to your message until 9th of August as I'm off on holiday.
I wasn't going to be true.
Yeah. I also wasn't going to sing it. I'm glad there was no request for that. Out of office number two, I'm currently busy watching Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, maybe Home Alone 3, but definitely not Home Alone 4. I will have many food breaks, the occasional toilet break, but I will be doing nothing else. A slightly heavier version of me will reply after 4th of January 2020. And out of office three, I am currently out of the office and probably out of my mind drunk. Enjoy your work week. So ponder, think, and we'll come back to it at the end once we've finished recording the pod. Good to have the game back. But let's dive in. So it's been a year, as I said, it's been a bit of a doozy. And I don't think there's much of a simpler question than to ask each of you sort of, you know, how have you found it? How has your respective organisations found it? And how have, you know, your workforce and you personally found it? Aika, why don't we start with you? What's been different over a trillium?
So I think one of the biggest, you know, cliches that happened first of all was pivot. Everybody having to very, you know, rapidly change everything from where you're working and how you're working to the bigger things like the sort of tools you had and the budgets. And that, I guess, did fundamentally became our main theme of the year is that change management, really. Something which we do help people with because, you know, digital transformation is fundamentally change management as you go through. But I think this was change on a different scale and a different level. And whilst there was absolutely challenges with that, you know, when we were looking at this year, we're also trying to look at the positives. You know, I think on the whole, we have been so impressed as to how the sector has responded, particularly a sector that doesn't have huge amounts of resources all the time, and everybody's always, you know, running around at the best of times, let alone at the worst of times. But the fact that everybody really has come together and worked together and worked with us as their partners to just do things rapidly and change and accept that, and that has, I think, been a real positive out of it, is seeing that we can do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. We're doing a webinar tomorrow, which by the time this comes out will be last Thursday, if you can wrap your head around that. That's all about like this, like 2020, we weren't expecting that. And as I was kind of doing the research for that, there's a great sort of survey report out there that, you know, provides all these negative stats, and, you know, that 80% of charities expect to, you know, COVID to negatively impact them for a second. Only 11% of charities that don't expect to be operating next year. And there's a lot of focus on the negative of COVID, a lot of what hasn't come out, but I think you've just hit the nail on the head there. And it's a lot of what I'm talking about yesterday / last week will be kind of, actually there's a lot of learns the sector has brought out here. You know, one of them that they're braver, bolder. I think they can start to shake that mantra of being, you know, the ones that have been left behind. I certainly think I don't feel like we're there anymore. You know, 70% of charities were still able to fundraise successfully. There's a lot of data that says the contrary, exactly. Specifically, yeah. And it's kind of been a year where charities have just done stuff and they've been forced to do stuff. They've been brave, they've been bold. And as we kind of talked about when we were planning this, it's all been about survival and not thriving. There was no expectation when COVID hit that it's going to, you know, charities are going to make reams and reams and reams of money. But what they should be proud of is the fact that they're still here. They're still operating. They've changed and they've got a new mindset, complete new digital mindset. Be that as well. They've changed cultures overnight. They've changed operations overnight. They've worked differently overnight. And we're seeing floods and floods of stories come in like that. I noticed this is something you've seen particularly from your client base as well. Like you said, they were split in two.
Yeah. So we definitely saw, you know, sort of some of our clients, I think their main challenge was they weren't really set up properly to work remotely. And, you know, a lot of what we do is very collaborative. And as much as we're about the technology, as we always say, that's nothing without the people and the strategy that you're doing. And I think they had to pivot so rapidly, and not having the people in the right place, they felt too nervous initially to really take forward some of those bigger projects. And so they all got put on hold. But the other side, it was what you were just saying then, I think it almost gave them the reason to push through some of those digital social initiatives and it stopped being, should we do this or shouldn't we do this and how do we justify it? It was a black and white thing. It was, well, the cost of not doing anything is going to be huge. And, you know, I think because they were less scared of doing it because the tolerance of getting it wrong was actually quite low in that you could, yeah. I think everybody was just so pleased that somebody was doing something that, as long as, you know, you were giving it your best shot and you were learning from it, people were really quite accepting of the fact it necessarily wasn't going to be perfect. And so it was a sort of perfect time to test these things and see how it worked. And, you know, we've got clients who moved on to, have been trying to move on to, say, for example, online training for about a year. And there was all these questionnaires and research and other things you quite rightly do. And lots of people are saying, oh, no, we're not sure this is the right platform and the change might be bad and we might lose that, you know, the benefits from face to face. But when it came down to the fact, well, it was this or nothing, actually they ended up having a far broader reach. They managed to service a lot more people and it was accepted very, very easily by everybody. And so it sort of, accelerated something that they've been trying to do for a while. So it was really good to see that, you know, it was, I may have mentioned the last one, but it still stands out as my favourite sort of meme, which was, you know, the question is, you know, what's driving your digital transformation, your CTO, your CEO, or COVID? And I think a lot of people are ticking COVID, but it doesn't really matter as long as it got driven and it made it happen. And you take that positive.
Exactly. No, 100%.
It's a good crisis.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how sort of change begets change, doesn't it, as well? And, you know, the sector will never be the same again, really. But I really like the point that, like, you know, you've got that split audience. And I think that always reminds me of what the Status of UK Fundraising report that came out in the summer, which kind of said that there's 30% of charities who aren't sort of willing to adapt and change. And it was interesting to read there that it was actually size agnostic, which is not what you'd think. So it brings back to the point that digital is, it's a mindset, right? It's all about, you know, leadership at the top and people within adopting digital and driving digital forward, testing, iterating, changing, trying. They're all words that I feel like are becoming buzzwords now, but it's exactly what digital is all about, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I would say actually, so looking at our client base, sometimes it's the smaller ones who've done a better job. I mean, and to be fair, it's easier for them to be agile and to, you know, you don't need, there's not so many layers of, you know, approvals and people and things like that. But as a result, I think they've really been able to take advantage of that ability to be agile and help balance out some of the, you know, I guess that they were probably more vulnerable to lack of fundraising, but at least they've been able to respond more quickly and take advantage of that. So that's been really interesting.
Yeah. And Michaela, what about you? What's been your perception of the sector?
It's been a fascinating year and quite a difficult one for the charity sector. COVID, from my perspective as a cybersecurity professional, has been really challenging because especially early on, everyone wanted to know, you know, what's what about COVID. And so in terms of phishing emails, there's a huge change of targeting people using different sort of COVID laws. So that was very difficult. We saw lots more of that. And using online services is obviously more popular and very necessary. But we've seen that criminals were targeting those that didn't use multi-factor authentication. So that's been difficult for organisations. But as you said, it's been really positive in terms of opportunities as well. I think one of my favourite things coming out of COVID, and being healthcare sector in particular, is that the government actually changed some of the rules around data sharing due to COVID. And that meant that we could be more agile and creative with services and work more with partners. So that was one of the really positive things I saw come out of it. Mm-hmm. But as a cybersecurity professional, it's been very, very challenging, difficult time.
Yeah, I can imagine these criminals are getting more and more, I don't know if smart's the right word to describe them, but you know, some of the, I saw a recent one this morning actually where it was even as simple as someone had posted on eBay a picture of a please send me money to help buy a PlayStation for my two boys or something like that. And it had been debunked as a cyber crime, and that was as like today. But I remember back at the beginning of lockdown as well, where Cub, I think NCC, was telling us that there was this series of text messages going around saying that, oh, we know you're not isolating, you need to do this, that and the other, and people were buying for it as well. So I think there's that thing, well, you know, as people become more remote as well, that level of security increases, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think one of the things, especially for smaller charities who don't provide their own sort of corporate devices for people to use at home, it's been particularly challenging because you need the people who are working at home, potentially with families living with them, with access to those machines as well, to think a bit more about confidentiality and how they can be responsible for their own security of those devices. So that's been challenging in terms of how do you educate people. And as Aika just said, actually being virtual means that you can reach more people with the education and awareness. So that's been a positive thing as well, I'd say. But definitely in this environment we are now, we need more people to take responsibility themselves and not rely so much on the company, because, you know, those centralized firewalls and things, they don't do us any good when, you know, it's your own devices at home. It's just you, your computer and your router. You know, make sure you don't use those default passwords, update your device, multi-factor authentication, all those good things. It's down to you to fight cyber criminals.
Exactly. No, that's great. And we obviously did a great podcast that released last week that was about a charity talk and specifically about what they went through with a breach as well. And it's definitely worth considering it. And it's often what I feel is one that's forgotten. I totally understand it. You know, that it doesn't seem like anything that can be relevant, but the cost of such a thing is just phenomenal.
Yeah. And I think actually it's increasingly getting people's awareness on even like the BBC News now, because of COVID and the rush to the vaccine, you know, that's a really important piece of information that's really valuable. And people are seeing that other nation states are trying to get to it, you know, so you've got more cyber attacks, more breaches. I think just people are gradually becoming more aware, but I think people need to understand, as with your last podcast, that just because you aren't creating a COVID vaccine, actually there's probably some work information that's still valuable on your home PC that you need to protect.
Absolutely. And I think we'll come on to what we think about next year in a minute, but as we get more sophisticated, so do cyber criminals. So we need to be even more aware of that then as we go into 2021. But I just want to come to Dean first. Dean, how's life been at All We Can?
It's been interesting, as has been said for the charity, as a charity sector. I think really, for us, certainly at All We Can and for Self, you know, 2020 has certainly been the year, let's face it, of digital evolution. I think it's pretty self-evident that there's been an incredible evolution in the development of digital across charities, particularly at All We Can, and also obviously across non-profit sector. But I'm interested in what has also been raised, really, when we talk about really the relationship of digital and the centrality of people to that. So the thing for me, which has really stood out in 2020, has been really the evolution towards people first, digital experiences and online community. Mm-hmm. I think we often speak as digital experts and leaders as to the importance of digital segmentation and market analysis. And of course, they still play a massive important role in what we do. But I think, let's face it, 2020 is coming like this totalizing force and has just totally changed the game. And so really feelings, as we know, of worry, of loss, of concern, of anxiety, we've all been feeling that. We've all been feeling those universal emotions. And therefore really it has been, as we talked about, the opportunity for digital to step into that place, to say that we're going to build online community and we're going to bring people together. And certainly All We Can, it's a great pleasure really to work through this time with incredible people at All We Can, because you know, what we've sought to do is really be there for our supporters. That's how it all started really, and how we've developed in 2020 is to try to say to our supporters, we want to be there for you just as much as you've been with us for over 80 years as a charity. And from that, things developed in that sense of community. We've developed 117 sort of live videos every other day throughout the week. And we created the Big Church Sing, which is thousands of people across the world are all singing because people couldn't meet in churches. And so for me, as I say, 2020 has been really a reframing on the importance of people and that relation that digital can give. And so that for me is a 2020 has been a year of certainly digital evolution and putting people at the heart of digital approaches and strategies.
I think that's a point really well made, because, you know, as we've talked in sort of the briefing for this, it's all about people at the end of the day. It's people who work for charities. It's people who support charities. It's people who are affected by the services of charities. So it's been a big strain on people, and the way people have adapted, I think, has been phenomenal. You know, we talked a little bit about the mental health aspects and the mental health side of what COVID's brought to not only the sector, but to people in it, and how people have adapted to that, you know, getting used to working in a 6x6 cell, essentially. Like, I've not left my bedroom for nearly 9 months. You know, I spend 18 hours a day here, and it's now normal, which is just bizarre. And that's just one example, and there's many out there. And I think I said when we talked last time, I've become a bit of a gamer. That's became my solace. Like, I find myself, you know, jetting off to be a Viking or playing FIFA for ages, just because that's how I go into another world to try and take my mind off this bit of a bonkers one that's in it. And that's just one, again, gaming for good, gaming's not just helped me, but it's being used across the sector by many people to fundraise and also to deliver really valuable services as well. So it's kind of accelerated that people first approach, I think, from charities, and remind people and charities specifically that there is real people at the end of all these donations and real people at the end of all these services as well. And you know, it's important to thank them. It's important to celebrate them. And it's important to support them more than ever, really. Great. Thank you very much. That's really, really impressive. So what do we think will come next year? Aika, do you want to go first?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think anyone is very scared, I think, about making predictions, because I don't think anyone would have guessed what was going to happen in 2020. Exactly. So with that caveat in place, I mean, I think, you know, obviously we had the brilliant news of the vaccine coming in. So I think we're all, and, you know, talking to clients and other sort of partners in the sector, I think everyone seems to be looking at summer as being the point where perhaps some level of normality will be, you know, reintroduced, particularly in terms of the face-to-face events, which I have been missing very much. And just seeing our clients face-to-face, is, you know, going back to your people point, that it is different, you know, and as much as we've all sort of got on with that, I do miss, you know, those sort of extra chats. And yes, I know, Chris, you were saying the wine. I do miss that as well. Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah, but that's sometimes where the relationships, you know, get cemented. But I think even with that in mind, I think it is changed forever. You know, I can't imagine there'll be any events now which aren't at least hybrid, that aren't going to keep the recognition that having the virtual element enables more people to be part of it and be there. I think where it's really positive as somebody who works in the digital sector is even not everybody, you can't sort of blanket judge, but I always felt like, particularly with top leadership teams, that digital was like a thing on itself, a thing that you added on, that you had to consider. Whereas I believe now it's more being made part of the strategy. There is no strategy without a digital element. It's not an add-on, it's something that you have to integrate and incorporate in all of your planning, whether that's from an operational level or an engagement level. You know, it has to be there, because I think those organizations that weren't up scratch with digital this year were the ones who were initially hardest hit, you know, because that was suddenly the only presence, the only way of reaching out or doing anything. And so I think hopefully that will be a positive, is that we'll be looked at, you know, more from that perspective. And it should be holistically looked at. It's, mm-hmm. you know, and as we say again, it's not even about having the right platform. It's just thinking about it in the right way. And we're always being asked, you know, how do you create a digital culture, and how do you, you know, make sure that people are able to deal with this? And we say, well, it's the people. You have to communicate it, and you have to train, and you have to encourage it, and think of yourselves as that sort of organization. And I hope that business case making will be a lot easier for most people now in the boardrooms going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. One of the things that I thought was interesting that we talked about previously was how, you know, one of the things we found from this year is, you know, recording podcasts. You people have been really forgiven. So recording podcasts on Zoom, recording webinars on Zoom, you know, bad connections, that sort of thing. Do you think that'll continue next year?
Yeah, I think sort of going back to what I was saying about it being great, it's going to be part of a stressional add-on. The other side of that will be is I think people will be less forgiving, you know, certainly as a partner to the sector where we do, you know, obviously pay quite often for the privilege of being at events and things. All we were trying to do was help each other survive, I think, this year and do whatever we could to be there and recognise, you know, we aren't a really blue chip corporate sector. It was about helping each other and understanding that we were learning. But going forwards for all of us, I think we would, you know, you would expect a bit more for things to be a bit better on the tech side. But also I think there's a recognition that it's going to be more competitive again, in that I think people were so desperate initially for things like any sort of webinar that may or may not help them, that they would tune in and just in case there was one fragment that would give some sort of guidance in this sort of desperate feeling darkness. Whereas I think people have got back on track with the fact that, you know, things are, even if they're not being done in the normal way, they are the more normal objectives, and they need that, you know, high level of support. And so I think that people are going to have to up their game a bit, however that, you know, is delivered. You know, we already actually, funny enough, had a rash of calls and clients who'd put things on pause in the spring saying, right, we need to start them again now. So, you know, you know, we can't keep pretending, they've got to get going again now. And yeah, and it's those things that you can't be saying, you know, it was very acceptable. So no, we haven't achieved those objectives this year because of COVID. We know the situation now. So touch wood, presuming there is a horrible new strain or something, you know, we're all at home, we're all working digitally, and yeah, no more excuses really. We've got to get to it and do it well, and the quality that we all know we can as well.
Yeah, very well put. And Michaela, what about you? What are your visions for 2021?
My vision's a very hopeful vision, which probably isn't quite matched to reality. So in terms of my hope is that, as I've just been saying, the willingness to embrace digital as part of the strategy, make events accessible to more people. I think it's a really positive thing for people who struggle with going to face-to-face events. So I think that will be a positive change for society in general. I hope that life doesn't just return to normal in the summer, as a lot of people are indicating they'd like it to, because I don't think we should lose some of the wonderful things that have happened for people and communities throughout the past year. I hope that with recognition that cybersecurity is so important, because you can't have a digital strategy without good cybersecurity alongside it, that we will hopefully see more people learning and joining the sector, because we do still have a shortage. And the other thing I would like to see, as a computer gamer myself, secrets out, is that I would like to see the charity sector embracing and working with the esports sector. In 2020, we saw on the BBC News, you know, some more chat about, oh my goodness, you can earn all this money, you know, as a gamer. And it's like, yeah, it's just like a sport. You know, we sit and tune into these wonderful tournaments. And I sort of think, well, actually, if there was like a charity sector partner or something like that, think how much money could be made from that. So I'd like to see something like that in the new year as well. What else would I like to see? More working together, I think. I think particularly the large charities, again, I think I said this on the podcast last time, actually, the large charities who do have some skill set with them could help the smaller charities, I think. I'd like to see more of that community.
Community collaboration, I totally agree with that. Yeah, that's something we've been lobbying for quite a bit, and I think the sector's coming round to it. I don't think, I think they'll be, as a sector, we can be the first to hold our hands up and be like, yeah, we're not great at helping each other. Competition, I like to call it. you know, we're all trying to do the same great stuff. It makes sense for us to work together. But I'm hopeful for the same. To speak to you personally, very quickly, if you've listened to our podcast a couple of weeks ago with Salesforce on Gaming for Good, check out Women's Win. They are an esports, or they were a sports charity for women, based in the they're based all over, I think, but the person we spoke to was from the States, but they're doing some great esports stuff with gaming. Definitely recommend them. And I know we're trying to knock on Twitch's door and a few other people to get working with them as well, so watch this space.
Cool.
But to kind of bring back up a point that you made earlier, I don't think it ever will go back the same, and I don't think we ever can. I think Aika said the word before, hybrid, and I've kind of earmarked this as the buzzword for 2021. I think it will be what everybody's talking about, it's hybrid, blended working. You know, we have to adapt, we have to change. You know, there's so many good things that have come out of a bad year, specifically from digital, specifically from operations, that the charities that are still in the game can learn from and can continue to adapt and start to thrive, as we said, this year being about survival. Next year is about thriving. So don't think we can. I mean, a really good example of that is, I mean, I'll kind of ask your opinion on this. What do you think about the future of the charity office?
Sorry, the charity office?
The office, yeah. So Deafblind UK, for example.
Oh, I'm not sure I'm with you, actually.
Is it going to be an office anymore?
Oh, the charity office doesn't physically office. I was thinking the show, you know, the comedy show.
That would be brilliant. We should totally do that.
That would be great. I love that. No, the physical office, like this, as a physical structure, will the office continue to exist?
I think there's a real opportunity here for charities to sort of sell up some of the sites they might have and reinvest that in their services. I think a real opportunity, and also it can like level out, you know, the focus on properties in the south, and especially for nationwide charities, you know, thinking about the north as well. So yeah.
We do love the north, Michaela, and I'm not just biased.
I've just got a picture of Chris doing the Ricky Gervais dance now.
Yeah. Nobody needs to see that. That's Christmas parties only.
Well, they're talking about, you know, Christmas parties. I think I know Michaela and I aren't quite on the same page as this one, as being, I think, quite opposite characters in the sense of I'm a very like outgoing people person who has massively missed that interaction. Funnily enough, I was talking about this with our operations office manager earlier, what are we doing next year and is there any thoughts, and I think we were both saying that it's hybrid. I really don't like the idea of there being no office, no place where people can get together. And I think that's not just the social side, you know, we were, funny enough, one of the things that came up in our Christmas party was everybody was saying how much they missed the kitchen, not obviously necessarily the standard of coffee in it, but more the fact that that's the place you find out what's going on and you have conversations that aren't necessarily relevant that somebody would think to bring you into directly, but you hear opportunities and you just have more of a feel for what's going on as a whole. And so I think that's missed, and it does make some things harder to do, you know. I mean, I do have a slightly awkward sit on your desk until I get what I want policy, but there are times, and that's sort of handy, you know. It's much easier to avoid somebody when they can see who's ringing, you know. And I think, you know, what I would hope is what actually is the way that I used to work before, which is some days at home and some in the office, and you choose the sort of work that you need to do from both. There is some work that is much better suited to just being left alone at home and having that space, and who wants to waste time commuting? But then there's other things that really benefit from that joint problem solving and that. And there is, and just having somebody who didn't expect chiming in going, well, actually, I've got an idea, and have you heard of this? And I really miss that side of it. And that's the bit that I think, I hope we get back a bit.
Yeah, and it can never be replicated, that we've certainly found, and we've tried many different things from coffee catch-ups to stand-ups to Friday afternoon drinks. What's been the biggest miss, I think, in lots of different levels, is just, you know, that person-to-person interaction. I often think, you know, about onboarding someone, for example. We've had to onboard a few staff during this time period, and what I've missed is that, you know, whether they think you do or not, or whether they know you do, you're always listening. You're always trying to pick up and learn a bit more about them and kind of go, all right, well, that's the personality bit, and you're learning, you know, you adapt your managerial style to fit that. It's been really difficult doing that. while not in the office and having to do it over Zoom, and people can just switch off and you can't pick up those little mannerisms and things like that. But I totally see both sides of it. I think from our point of view as a charity, we're looking to go into the hybrid model. But then you see like the likes of Defvine UK, who've sold their office for $2.5 million. And I can also see why that's very inviting when you're struggling to find revenue elsewhere. So I think it's a mix of going to a more hybrid hot desking scenario, having an opportunity for people to come and meet and still doing some of that stuff online. I don't know, Dean, what are your thoughts?
I think it's, I miss my colleagues, to be honest with you. As you know, I've just come back from the Christmas office party, which was online today. It was wonderful and really well organized, but I do miss my colleagues. I think it's really important, as was said, that people do have that dynamic. And so much of the importance even of digital transformation is about team culture. Actually meeting face to face and having that that friendship and that spirit of collaboration. So yeah, I have to admit, I do miss my colleagues because they are wonderful people. So it would be very hard to not have a physical office for sure.
Yeah, agree. At least that opportunity to meet them and have a bit of banter. I hate the word, but we do miss it. And what do you see for 2021? What do you think will be some of the biggest changes?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some really, really good points have been made. I think, and it's all going to be interesting because nobody, let's face it, nobody is Nostradamus. We don't know what's going to happen. But I think, you know, I started off previously saying that, you know, 2020 has been the year of digital evolution. But I do think we have an opportunity, and I really feel passionate about this, to make 2021 the year of digital revolution. And I'm not saying I've got to pick up, you know, your placards or whatever it may be, but I think we need to be shouting about it in the sector. That, you know, viva la revolution. Revolution because, you know, we've been moving from coping with digital to growing with digital. There's an opportunity and hopefully a vision to see that we can grow our skills, that we can grow our team culture, that we can ultimately learn by doing digital. You know, I often think there's such a confidence crisis that we face in often in the charity sector around digital, but we can learn so much by doing it. And I also think, it's been highlighted previously that there's just a revolution in understanding of digital. And that we stop thinking of digital as simply about technology, but actually about transformation. And there's a revolution from technology to transformation. And so often digital is seen as this abstract specialist, specialism, which, you know, you've got to put into the corner and to take out to quote that famous film Dirty Dancing, you know, don't put baby in a corner. We shouldn't be putting digital in a corner. And I really think that if we can really be thinking through as leaders in this sector, how we can really be using that full dynamism of digital, that we can lead it for a transformation, for operational capacity. And it cannot just be a technological force for change, but a transformative change, not only for our organisations, but most importantly, the incredible missions that we all have as part of our charities. So yeah, that's what viva la revolution, as I say, and I hope 2021 is the year of digital revolution.
Oh, I like don't put digital in the corner.
I think that's going on, I guess, cliche chart.
I might have to steal that. I'm still a bit sad because I miss, we were meant to be going as a lovely girly trip to Secret Cinema Dirty Dancing the summer. Obviously,
oh,
that was
yes.
Not a COVID friendly event, so that has been moved to next year. But yeah, I do quite like the image of, yeah, don't put digital in the corner. And I think it sums it up really nicely. I'm definitely going to steal it, Dean. I will credit you.
One of many great ideas. Yeah, I think that's probably the right place to leave it there then. But we do have to revisit Charity Digital or Charity Dodgy. So for your benefit, I will read through the three things again. But collectively as a unit, you have to decide which of these facts or which of these out-of-office emails from our recent article is Charity Dodgy. So out-of-office number one, I can't believe I've got to say this again. Never going to give you up, never going to let you down, never going to run around and desert you, never going to make you cry, never going to say goodbye, never going to tell a lie and hurt you. I'm also never going to reply to your message until 9th of January as I'm off on holiday. Out of Office number 2. I'm currently busy watching Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, maybe Home Alone 3, but definitely not Home Alone 4. I will have many food breaks, the occasional toilet break, but I will be doing nothing else. A slightly heavier version of me will reply after 4th of January 2020. 2021, sorry. And out of Office number 3, I'm currently out of the office and probably out of my mind drunk. Enjoy your work week. Over to you.
Was insert that suggest that I needed you to do the first one again, but this time sing it.
No. I haven't had enough wine or beer or any of the above to do that yet.
Well, I really want the first one to be true because it's brilliant.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's craziness that somebody would have done that.
So I've narrowed it down.
Exactly. The second one's got something about a toilet break, and I just wonder if that's a bit too revealing to be honest, to your colleagues. But who knows?
Well, do you think it's a good idea on out of office for your work to talk about I'm probably just going to be drunk? I mean, it might be true, but I feel like it's not something that needs any more attention drawn to it.
It's certainly a very laissez-faire office, isn't it?
Indeed.
That's your ultimate fine. Are we all saying A? Is that? Well, I think I want it to be true. I don't know.
You have to identify the one that's false.
Oh, sorry.
I think it's 2 that's false. I think there's a bit too much detail in it. I think charity dodgy for number 2.
I'll go with you there then.
Oh, number 2.
I think it's between 2 and 3 because A's just got to be true because we need that in our lives.
We do.
Final answer. I'm going to push
it. If it isn't, true, Chris, I want you to put it as your out of office.
Final answer, number 2.
Yeah, go for it. Yes. Go for number 2.
All right. The charity dodgy answer, the untrue statement was out of office number 3. I am currently out of office and probably out of my mind drunk. Enjoy your work week. You are onto something there, being it is a bit too risky, isn't it? Number 1 is true, but number 1 is true.
Well, that's made me happy.
Yeah.
So everybody wins, basically.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, you win one this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Merry Christmas to me. We eventually won one. Well, look, it's been great to chat, and I really appreciate all taking a bit of time to sync up with us. I know it's always a bit bedlam at the end of it this time of year. So big thank you to all of you for joining us.
Thank you, and thanks
very much.
Yeah, happy
Merry
Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I hope you're singing along, Chris. Those
yeah, absolutely. And I also want to say a heartfelt thank you from everyone here at Charity Digital for your, the listeners' support this year. Couldn't do what we do without your support. So I really do hope you have a safe, restful and enjoyable holiday. Merry Christmas, everyone, and we'll see you in 2021.